This is CliffCentral.com.
What a song, huh? Isn't that nice? Come on, yes. That's great for a little mini Friday, because tomorrow's holiday. A lot of people very excited about that.
It's Women's Day, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Where's that bass line from? It sounds way too familiar to be original.
Oh no, guys.
No, I'm telling you.
Possibly again, it's Calvin Harris.
Yes, it's Calvin Harris with Pharrell and with Katy Perry.
And Big Sean.
And yeah. Big Sean.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. They've got to split the money. <That's>, they're going to get nothing out of this. Where is that? Where is that from? That's not it. That's Eastranders.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, that is. That's wow, 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 wow. How the hell did I get Eastranders and wow, 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 wow all at the same time? That's very bizarre, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bizarre? All right, let's just try this again. I'm almost sure I know where this comes from. Come on. Help me figure this out. I need to know. Come on, somebody who's got a really good musical ear, this is your chance to prove yourself. You're the smartest person in the room. Go. It's almost like Diana Ross's... what's that song?
Upside down, you're turning me.
I'm telling you, it's very similar. It's almost like Upside Down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could be onto something here. Let me just see if I play a little Upside Down. Maybe we've got something going here. I know that you're worried about the confidence.
No, this is way more important. Really,
This is massive.
Priorities.
Right? It's almost there. It just slowed down quite a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It's very similar. That's where I'm feeling it might come from.
Okay.
There is a funk to it.
Maybe. I'm telling you, there's something there.
Well, was Robin Thicke executive producer on this? Because if he was, then we know for sure. Because at the moment, it could be a coincidence.
The combo, Robin Thicke and Pharrell, was just not working these days.
Wow, they steal everything. They steal all the good stuff. Hey, guys, in all the secret ballot news, did anyone else see that ICASA has said that data expiration is illegal?
Damn right.
Michelle, nice one to point that out. So, in other words, your data will not expire. If ICASA's ruling is held up, which it should be, there's no reason why it shouldn't, then you won't. If you buy data and you don't use it in that time, it should remain yours, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you spent the required money.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
Someone made a great analogy. That's like going to the shops buying eggs, and then the shop comes back and grabs your eggs.
Yes. Imagine that. Unacceptable, right?
Yeah.
Ranjini wrote this story about the vote of no confidence. She says, after years of being the ultimate Teflon man, President Jacob Zuma for the first time faces a real threat of being toppled. This is in the opinion of Ranjini Munsami. Speaker of the National Assembly, Bale Gambete, did what was up to now unthinkable for a top six official in the ANC. She rolled the dice in Zuma's fate. By allowing MPs to vote by secret ballot in the no-confidence debate against the president, the ANC does not have complete control on the outcome. The ANC simply has to trust that the instructions it will no doubt hammer into its caucus ahead of the vote will be enough to prevent MPs from breaking ranks. But once they walk into the National Assembly on Tuesday afternoon, it will be their decision and their conscience that will dictate how they vote, with no danger of penalty. So this is a bit of a break, and I do think that it's worth talking to Ranjini about why she says this.
Having considered all the factors and mindful of the fact that this decision is not setting a precedent, I determine that voting on the motion of no confidence in the president on the 8th August 2017...
Oh, my God. That's not good. I hope she's, you know, because she's going to sort that out. If she's pregnant, then.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That should be very bad for the child.
Just let's remind her, let's remember this. 67 years old.
She's pregnant, I'm telling
okay,
you.
She's okay. pregnant.
Guzzles down that water like butter billet. I mean, it guzzles down gin.
Life of comes at a strategic moment. I therefore determined that voting on the motion of no confidence in the president on the 8th of August 2017 will be by secret ballot. Thank you very much.
All right, and she takes off her glasses and she gets the hell on out of there. That was the story. So Ranjini's written this interesting piece. I thought it would be fun to talk to her. And we'll talk to her in the next couple of minutes, see what she's up to and what she thinks of this. She's very interested. She was saying if she was on a flight from Durban to Cape Town yesterday, full of MPs.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose everybody has to, you know, convene and make their way to the National Assembly.
Yup.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yes, there are MPs that they're dragging themselves out of hospital beds. There are MPs that have barely appeared in Parliament that are all going in today.
I'm sure some are coming back from extended holidays.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Some were on leave and now they're like, ah.
Oh, gonje.
Gotta go into work today.
Damn, this work. It's so annoying. All right, we got Stefan on Skype. Let's talk to Stefan. Hey, Stefan, what's up, dude?
How's it, Gareth? How's the team?
Good. What's happening, man?
Not much, but since you're talking about the secret ballot thing, it even made it onto German TV, and even they don't seem very
hopeful.
Confident, hopeful, sorry,
yeah.
that Jay-Z will leave. So, yeah, that says a lot because the Germans are quite direct.
Okay, so it made it to German TV.
Yeah, but only the bad stuff. So I'm quite amazed that this made it. So that's cool. But I'm calling because I have a theory about Ben, because Ben comes up with all these weird and wonderful theories, and of course none of them make any sense.
Like the Tupac was killed by Will Smith.
What a load of horseshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Dreadful generalization on my hard thoughts.
Okay, go on, Stefan. Let's listen to you.
Well, the thing is, do we really know who Ben's real father is?
Yes, he's been on the show a few times.
Yeah, we have had him on the show.
Yeah, so it's someone else got a cuck theory here.
Well, just picture this. Okay, it's the early 1980s.
Uh-huh.
Ben's adoptive father needs to go to a shoe convention.
Mm.
This same weekend, his mom decides to go to the Who concert all alone. She meets a stranger who's very well-spoken, works in media, loves cars, is occasionally very un-PC,
yeah,
is very grumpy, and has a massive head. 9 months later, Ben comes out.
Huh.
You know, your theory is crap for a number of reasons. Before you even carry it on, because Ben looks just like his dad.
No, give him his chance, Gareth. Give him his chance.
Right, go on.
Well, look at Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, you think it might be Clarkson that's Ben's father?
It might be Clarkson because just the characters are so similar. They've both got massively big heads.
What an interesting. That's. Now you got a little hook into me there.
Yeah, but I'm quite muscular from the groin down.
I mean,
have you seen Clarkson in jeans? It's like someone stole his ass.
Well, there's a couple of years before. Just think about it. I think it's more plausible than Will Smith can.
How dare you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you lost me, and then you kind of pulled me back in with the whole Clarkson idea. And you think it was
I saw him on TV the other day, and I watched one of Ben's YouTube videos, which took me forever to find, and I thought there's such a big resemblance.
Well, right. that's interesting, and thing is, I didn't watch Clarkson. Like, I watched Top Gear about 5 years ago. Otherwise, I lost interest. So I wouldn't say I'm modeling myself in that at all.
Okay. Well, it was worth a try. But
all right, I like this. I'm not gonna throw it out without thinking about it a little bit. All right, Stefan. Listen, we gotta go, dude. We gotta get to Ranjani.
No problem. Have a great day, guys.
All right, man. Thanks. There we go, Stefan out of Berlin. All right, Amanda, you talk to Ranjani. Get her on for us in the meantime. Mubs, you want to give us some other news?
Well, I'll tell you what, there are a couple of protests that are blocking certain roads in parts of Johannesburg this morning. Roads have been blocked with rocks and burning tires across the city. JMPD saying that it is related to the motion of no confidence in the president, which is set to take place this afternoon.
Yeah.
Affected areas include Soweto, Zandspruit, Bramfontein, Booysens, and Terfontein, south of Johannesburg.
So why are people protesting? Are they protesting in favor of the motion of no confidence or against it?
All the JMPD can confirm at the moment through their spokesperson, Chief Superintendent Wayne Minnar, is that, you know, the protesters are protesting in relation to this vote today. Nothing more is being said. The M1 and N1, and as well as the M3, are also being affected at this stage. And, yeah, I'm seeing pictures here, and it's not looking great. As I said, rocks and burning tires. The blockades are causing widespread traffic disruptions. So, you know, if you are on the roads this morning, big parts of the south of Johannesburg being affected by these protests. And I don't know, I guess just keep an eye out and, you know, try and get through it without being too frustrated.
We have a lot of time to protest in this country, and don't we?
More so, why are we burning things? Yeah, I mean, understand that.
And are they pro or anti the vote of no confidence? Who knows? This is the stupidest protest I've ever heard of.
But this trend is going throughout the entire country, because in Cape Town, there are many different groups which have applied to protest and march today. The ANC in the Dula Omar region applied for a 15,000 participant march from the Grand Parade to Parliament today.
Just by the way, Dula Omar's family want nothing to do with the ANC in that ward.
Not want to be associated
with
that.
They've said, please don't use our, I think it was his sister who was on the news the other day, don't use our brother's name. We don't want him involved with your shitty ward, which is kind of funny. Let's cross to Ranjeni Munsami. Ranjeni, thanks for making time for us today. You know you've got a really, really important busy day ahead of you. But I was fascinated by what you'd written in Times Live about Balegambete's decision to give the secret ballot to MPs. You seem to think that this might be a major thing. A lot of people are saying, oh, you know, she's already taken instruction from Ubaba or from someone else, that this is going to change nothing, that the ANC MPs will all vote in a block as expected. But I kind of read in the subtext of your article that you actually think this is a threat to him.
Yes, it is, Gareth. Hi, guys.
Hey.
No, I can tell you something that political journalists in South Africa could have all been knocked over by a feather when Balegambete made that announcement yesterday. Because, you know, Gareth, she's been fairly predictable in how she's conducted herself, and particularly when it comes to protecting President Zuma. In the past, we've seen the whole performance during the all the State of the Nation addresses when he's been under attack from the opposition. We've seen the previous motions of no confidence and how she's treated the opposition. She did not take them seriously. You know, her primary focus was to protect the president. And, you know, we had all been predicting that the fact that she had pushed this decision to the 11th hour only meant one thing, that she was trying to stave off legal action. So what would have happened is that she would have denied the secret ballot. The opposition parties would have had to rush to court for an urgent application to indict her and make an urgent application to the court to overturn that decision. And that is basically what all of us were saying. And there she was, you know, with this high drama, with this media briefing at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, and the courts were going to close. And, you know, Julius Malema had already said that their legal papers were drafted. And there she came out, and, you know, the first part of her statement, she was talking about the interest of transparency. So that kind of leaned towards an open vote. And then she started quoting these parts of the Constitutional Court judgment, and you sit there and think, huh? Where are you going with this? And then she drops it. You'll vote by, the MPs will vote by secret ballot. And I mean, last night I was talking to several political journalists, and everybody was completely stunned. It was unexpected. And it shows that This is not just, following the party line. She was opening up space. She was saying, I have a career. I have a political career. I have a life after Jacob Zuma. Let's roll the dice.
Wow. Do you think it was that much of a... I mean, because this is profound. If what you're saying is right, and I have no reason to doubt you, which is why we're talking to you this morning, but a lot of very cynical voices online are telling me that this is nothing. There's going to be another survival of this vote of no confidence. The secret ballot means nothing. And Baleka is just doing what we expected her to do, even though she's allowing this secret ballot almost as a bit of a diversion, if you would. This is major. You're saying this is a big thing.
This is a big thing. I think people need to just lower the bar of expectation. I could be surprised as I was yesterday, but I don't think President Zuma is going to be toppled today. What is going to happen is that the turbulence in the ANC is going to be visible by more than four people from the ANC bench voting against him. Now, the four people who already declared they're going to vote again, according to conscience, are Makhosi Khoza, Mandli Gungubele, Tavin Gordon, and Derek Hanekom.
Right.
That we know. Now, previously, for all the other previous motions of no confidence, you had in excess of 200 ANC MPs voting to protect or to keep President Zuma in power. There are 151 opposition MPs. Now, what you need to gauge is what number above 151, presuming all 151 opposition MPs are there, absolutely not like dead or sick or overseas or whatever. So you need to look at that count. And then you will see the opposition President Zuma is coming under within his own party. And this is, he may not be toppled, but this is the beginning of the unraveling of Jacob Zuma. The end point, what listeners need to keep in mind here, is that it's not only about the removal of Zuma from office. It is about breaking the state capture network. So what needs to happen once Zuma is disorientated, once he's challenged from within the ANC, is that this network then starts to unravel. So people will then start getting arrested. The method of how state capture happens, all the people who have been on the take will start getting exposed. The ANC will turn on people who have taken money from the Guptas. So this is what, and that is why there are more people than President Zuma that are actually under threat here. So this is what you need to bear in mind, that this is the start of the process. And the other person, the other silent motion of no confidence here that's going on is in Khosa Dlamini Zuma.
Yes.
How does this affect her? Is her campaign still on track if Zuma comes under attack from more ANC MPs?
I'm fascinated by what you said just now. It will reveal those cracks in the ANC to a number, which we've always struggled with. I mean, when you talk about the ANC's NEC meetings and so on, these are the MPs in Parliament. They form a proportion of the most important people on that list, the party list. And if these people in numbers greater than, let's say, 20, 30, even 40, vote in favor of this motion, it's not so important whether or not the president's toppled, but what it does reveal is immediately how many people he can no longer rely on and how those fissures are starting to happen.
And it will have a spillover effect throughout the structures of the ANC all across the country. Remember, up to now, we don't know how ordinary ANC members are perceiving this whole state capture thing, what happened with the reshuffle, the economic crisis. The policy conference was a gathering of ANC people, a large number of ANC people, but we didn't get that sense because they didn't allow that discussion. But once the floodgates open and it is visible that the senior most ANC MPs are now in a state of rebellion, even if it's just 20 people, then it does have a spillover effect. Then other people in ANC structure say, hey, I'm not keeping silent anymore. I'm not comfortable with this.
Do you think this
is what we have not had up to now?
Do you think this is a sort of leadership positioning opportunity for Bale Gambete? I mean, I read Bonim Tomboti saying that it's a chance for her to redeem herself. But do you think it's also a chance for her to really insert herself into the most important parts of the discussion around what will happen after Jacob Zuma?
Oh, Gareth, you know, the problem is with Bale Gambete is that she's just been such a lost cause up to now. And, you know, her conduct is, I don't know how many people would have real faith in her. But what it's saying is that she's not beyond redemption and that she's unhitting her trailer from, you know, the Zuma caravan. And she's saying, you know, I just judge me on my you know, on what I do on my own. Because all along she had been very dependent on President Zuma endorsing her.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that she's done this on her own is saying that, you know what, I'm going to try and drive this on my own speed. You know, I don't need his assistance. And look, you know, the message coming from the ANC last night was that, you know, we're pretty confident in our MPs, and that's why she allowed the secret ballot. But the fact is, they don't know. They just don't know what MPs are going to do when they walk into the National Assembly today. There'll be a debate. So before the vote, there's going to be a debate. And in that debate, and the people who are going to speak in the debate from the ANC will probably toe the party line. But when it comes to the vote, they simply do not know what people will do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time out for us today. Are you going to be in Parliament?
Yes, I will.
All right. Well, we may have to talk to you on Thursday or something.
Okay, good.
In the meantime, enjoy Women's Day tomorrow. And if there's something, really, really exciting going on, you'll keep us informed, right?
Well, hopefully I won't meet Ndudu Banana in the passages of Parliament and get Donner. So,
no, well,
you know, then I have a chance of having a good Women's Day.
After you threatened Jimmy Manye the other day, I think you're the only woman he should be careful of. All right, Ranjeni, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. There's Ranjeni Munsami with some interesting observations. So she says it's not just about whether the president goes or not. What you've got to see here is the opportunity for the ANC to finally expose its most tender parts. How many people in the ANC are opposed to the president, and how many people with this secret ballot allow us to have insight into, not in terms of the individuals, but in terms of the numbers? That's interesting. And she says this could be the beginning of the unraveling of those networks of patronage. Who's connected to the Guptas? Who are the people who the ANC start throwing out now? And what effect will this have on Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's campaign? I don't know if you saw the SABC yesterday calling her Nkosazana Mini Zuma.
That was just perfect when I saw that. It was spot on.
Yeah. All right, well, let's keep an eye on it. I mean, there's nothing else from an analysis point of view that we can add for this morning, but we'll speak to Phumzile Van Dam in a short while. She's, of course, the national spokesperson and member of parliament for the DA about the vote of no confidence. We'll talk to her. And then later on, we will listen to a conversation I had with Roberta Durant, who's the director of a movie. It's Women's Month this month, and we're always very pleased to, at least in terms of arts and culture, be able to see the stories of women in South African history who have been, I think, underrepresented in the historical record. The woman I'm talking about is a woman called Krutoa. She was actually a Khoi woman who lived in the Cape in the 1650s. She became Jan van Riebeeck's translator and advisor. And a fascinating story. She ended up marrying one of the Dutch settlers. And when he was made governor of Robben Island, of the prison, she moved there with him and died there. So really a couple of very interesting touch points in the history of South Africa that so few people are prepared to acknowledge. A fascinating story about a real human being, a person who isn't just relegated to the historical record as a footnote, but really mattered in the original settlement of the Cape by white people, and the relationship between her and her own people, the Khoi, and her relationship between the Dutch settlers. It's a really fascinating story. We'll talk to Roberta Durant, the director of that movie, in just a short while. It's always nice also to see South African movies being made, our stories being told by us.
Oh, yeah, so important that.
So if you're going to see a movie, I want to see that Dunkirk movie.
That's been getting a lot of good buzz, huh?
Yeah. Apparently it's brilliant in IMAX. That's what I'm hearing from more than just the person who tipped me off last week about it. And then this one, worth taking a look at, Krotoa, K-R-O-T-O-A.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually an ancestor of Casper de Vries.
Ninth great-grandmother or something along
like
those lines.
Yeah, something like that. But there we go. Another reason why you can't look at our history as being just black and white. We're all mixed up. Actually, anyone who thinks that they're totally black or totally white is missing the point, because our ancestors used to bang each other's brains out. and nobody was keeping track. So you think you're like a pure breed white or pure breed black. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing.
That's one way to look at things.
There's a bit of everything in everyone. And the longer we all keep mating with each other, the better it'll be for South Africa and for the world.
It's also the better looking, the progeny.
Yes.
I keep telling you.
Look at fucking Trevor Noah.
Let's just mix up the genes and you just got better looking people instantly.
Right.
How sexy that sounds, mating with each other.
Yes, mating with each other. Get on
mating
with it.
And procreating.
Right. Ugh. Mate with each other. All right, what else is going on in the news?
Well, I can tell you that there is at least one person who absolutely, positively does not care about today's motion of no confidence. And that's because he's got plenty of problems of his own to keep him occupied. Ooh. Henry van Breda.
Dum, dum, dum.
Who was in court yesterday.
What happened?
And it now all has to do with new DNA evidence that has been found, Gareth. Yes.
Ooh.
Over 200 samples of DNA evidence were analyzed from the crime scene of the Van Breda family massacre. This included DNA from the triple murder of accused Henry, who of course has pleaded not guilty to hacking to death his parents, Martin and Teresa, as well as his older brother, Rudy, with an axe. Now, after a nearly two-month recess, Van Breda was back in the dock yesterday, and it was the chief forensic analyst, Charlene Otto, who took to the stand and revealed that Teresa and Rudy Van Breda's DNA was found under Henry's nails, as well as on his shorts. She also said that the DNA from Rudy, Teresa, and Henry, most likely blood, was found on the shower floor. Traces of Rudy's DNA was found on the knife, and that there is the knife that was allegedly used to attack Henry. So Van Breda claims that, you know, it was a masked man who entered his family's Stellenbosch home and axed his parents and brother.
What? A mastermind?
A masked man.
Oh, a masked man.
Guys, am I not speaking? Sorry.
We're here. We're there with you. Quarats are there with you.
I don't hear myself when
don't
I speak.
Don't worry, you dipped into Arabic, but you've come back.
Yes, so the state prosecutor advocate Susan Galloway said it was questionable whether an intruder would fail to leave any trace of his DNA. And with these 200 samples that were analyzed, all they seem to suggest is that there was no other foreign DNA in the house, a whole lot of Henry's DNA, and a whole lot of his family members' DNA.
Mm. Well, so, is anyone surprised by this, Ben? We've been following the story from the beginning.
Gareth, I'm trying to be surprised, but really,
no. Hen, I'm sorry, there's no way out of this.
And Sia thinks you're hot, so.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest now.
Those women who write letters to prisoners, you know. Like, oh, dear Charles Manson, I'm so in love with you.
May I take the day off when his verdict is announced? I'll be there outside of court.
Support.
Just like throwing my underwear at
okay, so you
no,
know.
But all seriousness, there's no way out of this now.
Nice,
just remind me again. Oh, why am I asking the question? What are the different ways in which DNA can end up under the fingernails? Okay, so if you scratch someone, obviously, in an altercation or in an attack.
You grab at somebody.
But I mean, if it's a case of, like, Gareth had his hand on the desk and then I walk by and I scrape the desk, do I pick up Gareth's DNA? You know what I'm saying?
Highly unlikely.
It gets very...
Under the fingernails.
Extremely unlikely because you need some sort of...
What's quite telling is the shower floor situation, because he would have tried to wash off the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they found it on the shower floor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's him going for a shower after killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had like 8 hours. I mean, he could have ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
See how... Wow, though. There are a lot of links to this then. It's now that whole mindset of you went and you tried to clean off and then you put the act on when authorities came in. Oh, you psycho. Absolute psycho.
So this,
it's not looking good for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, sir.
This chief forensic analyst, she added that every touch leaves a trace, and that is the first rule of forensics. The answer is extremely simple. If I wear full personal protective equipment, if I wear gloves, if I wear a balaclava, which will cover my face or my hair, if I cover my body and come in and go out, I won't leave a trace. The crime scene might leave a trace on me, but I won't leave a trace on the crime scene.
I could have saved them a lot of trouble, I'm just saying.
And you're still standing by this every time we give an update. It's
just like, make me the judge, I would have saved all of this time and trouble. I mean, these poor forensics people having to dig through all the DNA and all the tests and the lab and the blah, 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 blah. Come on. So no, just let's skip to the sentencing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to continue with cross-examination today.
All right. Maybe it was the Swart Kat, says someone. That was a show that was on when I was a kid.
Okay.
About this child who would investigate crimes in his neighborhood. He would dress up as the Swart Kat.
Was it a...
It was a TV show.
Judging by the title, definitely South African.
Yes. Was the podcast... was he podcasting Cliff Central while he was in the shower? If so, which shows?
Oh, Henry.
Oh, was he listening to...
Laws of Life.
Laws of Life. There we go.
Well, he definitely wasn't...
Renegade Report. Frankly, Killing, Sorry, Speaking. Right.
He definitely wasn't listening when we had the Blood Sisters on the show to talk about how they clean up crime scenes. Mm. Otherwise, he would have known how to do a good job.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we keep saying it. You can get so much from life out of the show. Mm. Henry, you've missed the boat here.
Someone says that the bass line from... Feels, mm-hmm. Calvin Harris, is actually from Earth, Wind, and Fire's Let's Groove Tonight, Share the Spice of Life. You know that one?
Let's hear
Let
it.
Let this groove get Let you to move. Move. It's all right. You know that one? Shall we play it and let people decide for themselves?
Let's do it side by side.
All right, let's take a listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire first. You think this could be it?
Let's groove tonight.
I love this song.
Somebody should just steal Pharrell's phone and go through his music. Just old stuff.
You like this? We're doing such important work here. What a song.
I don't know, this is becoming like the Henry from Badar Court Case.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, all right. Share the
spice of life. Might be, huh?
Might be. Let this group last
forever. Yeah, it could be, huh?
Yeah. At a different pace.
Yeah, it's been slowed down considerably, but there might be something there.
Your Honor, final bit of evidence.
Ben is right. We should steal Pharrell's phone.
But you know, when I heard the song recently, I thought, wow, what a cool song. I was immediately suspicious. Because as I was saying yesterday, music the last 6 months seems like it hit a new low, right?
Yeah.
This is a good song. So therefore, it's been stolen.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Because the moment you hear the song, it's catchy, it's cool, you can't help but love it. Therefore, it's stolen.
But, I mean, Pharrell would have learned from the Bloodlines situation.
He hides behind his collaboration.
But you see, this is Calvin Harris who's mainly behind it.
So let's throw a Katy Perry under the bus.
So Pharrell didn't produce the song, is what I'm asking.
I think he's
just on vocals, but I could be wrong.
It's Calvin Harris' song, and Pharrell's just on vocals with Katy Perry.
Oh, shame, Ben. You see now, tainting Pharrell.
But he could.
He was also just there on that Robin Thicke song.
He produced that song.
Every bank robber in a heist is guilty. It's not just the guy who opened the door.
I'm thinking that there's a little bit of Diana Ross's Upside Down, a little bit of Let's Groove. Nice suggestion there. All right. Someone sent me a review of Dunkirk, but I can't read it, so I'll have to look at that and get back to you on that one. All right, let's see what else we need to know before we get to Phumzile Vandam, who is with the DA. She's very excited about the motion no confidence vote today. She's getting ready for that. She's an MP. So we'll talk to her in a second. The opposition party that brought the motion of no confidence is the DA. So in case you're wondering why we'd speak to someone from the DA, that's because it's their motion of no confidence. And someone said, pity not yesterday's rich. What can I do better tomorrow? I don't know what you mean. I hate when these messages don't make any sense. All right, so tomorrow's Women's Day. What are you going to be doing? Anything exciting happening? Mubs,
what will you be doing to celebrate Women's Day?
Oh. Gareth, I will wake up in the morning with a spring in my step.
Yes.
And I will go out into the world.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
And give thanks for all the wonderful privileges I get to enjoy for having a vagina.
Yes. Oh. And being a woman.
You know.
You're proud.
You make me feel like a...
Sorry, Caitlyn Jenner just took over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, she's always ruining our parade ever since she went through her own thing.
Hey, everybody. I can't wait to celebrate Women's Day tomorrow.
Yeah, Caitlin, what do you want?
Hey, I am so excited that tomorrow's my first proper women's day.
Oh, Katie, baby.
Yeah, Caitlin, so...
I am going to display my new vagina to everybody.
Oh, you know, Caitlin, I don't know that everybody wants to see.
I'm so proud. I'm Women of the Year. Did you know that? I'm Women of the Year.
Yeah, that's why I said you keep spoiling things for women since you became one.
Even... Women can't win Women of the Year. Aha! It takes me. Aha. Hey, baby.
Mm. All right, Caitlin. So what are your plans for tomorrow, besides showing your vajayjay to everyone?
I will be doing a little bit of housekeeping, because that's what women do. A bit of knitting, because that's what women do.
Oh.
I will be dancing around in a sundress for most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I will shave my vagina.
That's amazing, Caitlin. What a
like
wonderful
a
day. Yeah.
Yes.
It's so important to do that.
Well, also, there's nothing patronizing about what you just said.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a. You make me feel like a natural woman.
That's it.
You know that I'm going to run for office?
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm very excited to announce for the first time. Can I have a drum roll, please? This doesn't happen often, but I'm very excited to announce, even though it's not in South Africa, I'm going to be running for office in America. Yes, listen to that. Isn't that great?
Woo!
I'm going to run for Congress.
Caitlin.
I'm becoming so political. I was wearing a Donald Trump hat the other day. Everybody commented on it.
Yeah, but Caitlin, that was such a confusing story because you were caught wearing... You were caught wearing the hat, and then you were apologizing for wearing the Trump hat, and then you said you don't support Trump. Make up your mind.
Just the hat. I just grabbed the first hat on my way out of the house. Don't be so sensitive. Okay, I gotta go.
Yes, you do.
I've got a lot of shaving and grooming to do.
Okay, right, that's it. That's
this beard is getting out of control.
That's okay. Done. Okay.
Goodbye.
Whoa. That's
wow.
A lot going on there.
Exciting. Just for Women's Day, she's putting on a major effort.
She's a lot.
All right. Very exciting. Oh, somebody said it was International Cat Day yesterday. So a happy cat day to Meowsers, Ben.
All right, Meowsers.
Yes. Very good. A little bit of thought for the cat there. A lot of people talking about the lunar eclipse last night and how that is a portent for what's going to happen with Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
You believe that?
Look, the numerologists are on board. The lunar eclipse people are hopping on. Everybody wants to get on this train. You're welcome to it.
Absolutely. There's room for everyone.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Phumzile Vandam. I've spoken to Phumzile once or twice before, but she has been very excited about what's going to happen today in Parliament. The DA brought a motion of no confidence against the president, and yesterday the speaker announced that this will be done by secret ballot. And she's on the line... I presume you're in Cape Town and ready to vote, Phumzile.
Yes, I am. I've got quite a busy morning ahead. Yeah, it's exciting times, and we hope the ANC MPs will do the right thing and rid South Africa of Jacob Zuma.
Now, Phumzile, I think that from the point of view of an ordinary citizen like me, who's I'm trying to read as much as I can about this. I'm hearing various political opinions, various journalistic opinions. It's very hard for me to gauge what might actually happen, and I assume that's the case for most of us, including you, right?
Well, I mean, we've done the legwork. We've delivered a petition in Parliament signed by 1 million South Africans, the biggest ever. But it's entirely up to the ANC's MPs to decide what the way forward is going to be for this country. So it's up to them, and let's hope they do the right thing.
What do you think they will do? I mean, there's hoping, but then...
Well, I mean,
what,
I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope they do the right thing. I don't want to go in and vote and say they're not going to support the motion of no confidence. We want them to support it, and we hope that they do the right thing.
All right, so Phumzile, the other opposition parties are on your side on this one. Everybody gathered together yesterday at a press conference. What have you guys decided to do, to collaborate completely and vote against the president?
Well, I mean, each political party will, of course, decide what the right thing to do is, but there will be a march, a united opposition march this morning with us, the DA, EFF, UDM, COPE, and many small political parties in Parliament. So we trust that, we at least from most parties in the opposition will vote for Jacob Zuma to go, and we hope that the ANC will join us in doing that.
Have you had any opportunities to speak to anyone from the ANC? And do you have to be careful not to do that? Will that prejudice them in some way? Or have you heard
We speak to each other all the time. For those that are certain, there's now a secret ballot, so they have no more excuses not to vote for Jacob Zuma to not be president of the country. They have the protection of the secret ballot.
And Musi Maimane, has he said anything to you guys in caucus? I mean, what's the line that the DA is taking? Also, vote on conscience, even though that's probably unnecessary because most of you are allied on this.
No, I mean, I think all we're not having a caucus meeting. I think all DA members know what the right thing to do is for the country.
Are you worried about any of your members not pitching?
No.
Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, should be. Everyone should be there, yes.
Now, Phumzile, what happens if this motion succeeds?
Well, we will decide what happens thereafter. I think our focus today is really just to make sure that members of the ANC are convinced about having to vote Jacob Zuma out of power. What happens thereafter is something we'll have to plan once we reach that stage. Right now, I is on making sure that we pass the motion.
And Phumzile, what happens if the vote doesn't go the way that you're hoping? Then is it back to the drawing board and finding another...
The ANC will have to deal with the consequences of not listening to the people of South Africa who want Jacob Zuma out of office. So we're at the box in 2019.
Okay, so then we just got to wait for the election, and you think it's going to cost them dearly if they don't act now?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Are you sure that you have kind of popular support on this one? It seems to me that most of the people are behind you in terms of the noise that you hear on social media, but it's hard to gauge these things. I mean, there are lots and lots of very loyal people in the ANC who feel that this is a move against the party, not just the president, and that there isn't an opportunity to separate.
I think there's definitely a lot of public support for a motion of no confidence in Jacob Zuma. As you saw yesterday, there were 20 civil society organizations that marched, churches, and today it's all the united opposition parties marching together. We delivered the biggest petition ever in Parliament, so I think there is broad support publicly for Jacob Zuma to step down.
What are your plans for the day today? How does your day look? I mean, where exactly are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? What's the plan?
Well, I'm running quite late now, actually. I have to get myself to the starting point of our march. And then there will be the debates, which I'm speaking in. So I need to begin my speech and then voting.
All right. Well, have a good day. Good luck to you. I hope that it goes the way that the DA wants it to go, because I think that there are lots and lots of people who support you guys. And in the meantime, keep that march going, because it sounds like that's going to be quite a big deal as well.
Thank you very much. We will do right as a Democratic Alliance by the people of South Africa.
All right. Thank you, Phumzile. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Cool. Bye. There we go. She's in a hurry to go and get that march underway.
Whew.
It's all happening, huh?
I would not wish to be in her shoes today.
Well, I mean, rather be in her shoes than the president.
True. Always want to see a silver lining, Gareth.
What do you think he's doing today? He's probably still sleeping.
The same as any other day.
Yeah, he's sleeping late now. He's going to have some breakfast.
Because I was thinking about, you know, as we were discussing this earlier, if really he is taken out of the position, what I've actually never considered the president's plans after his term.
He doesn't have any plans.
He's not.
His plan is to stay out of jail. What do you mean?
Probably move to Dubai.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Guys, do we know that?
Have we forgot a major factor here? Who's counting these votes?
Ooh.
What if he's counting them?
Okay. There'll be 700.
Yeah, because guys, it's time for me to count. I'm going to go back behind the curtain and do the counting myself.
800 and 700. Listen properly. 769,820.
All right, you get the basic idea.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that clip. Graham says, that clip from yesterday of Mabali doing the ISIS thing nearly made me crash my car near Camps Bay. It honestly is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And please can we send Jacob Zuma to the island of plastic either? Also, rather, please can we? Love you guys, long time Graham. All right. That's very good. Amanda, what are your plans for the mini Friday today? You doing anything fun tonight since you had a chilled weekend?
I am. I decided that I should be 20 again and go do what I normally do.
And what's that? What does this involve?
Some drinks at Rockets and then Madison's and Randlord's.
Hey.
Jesus, you're piling it in.
Yeah,
hey?
No, she's squeezing it all in.
And this is going to be a costly experience.
It is.
But it's worth it, right?
Definitely.
All right.
What is costly though? What's like an average night out like when you're hitting three different places plus Uber?
Couple of grand.
Woo!
No, not that much. You make sure you do pre-drinks. And then I got some free tickets to some parties. Got to know some people, you know.
Right, okay. What's happening in Randlord's tonight?
It's like a Women's Day party.
Oh, the Women's Day. Are you going to celebrate Women's Day? Are you? Amanda? A woman must be proud.
Yes, girl.
Yes. Mavs hates this stuff.
Yes.
Am I the only one pro this day?
Yes, you are. You're the only one. You and the Minister of
Ben,
Women, Children and People in Wheelchairs.
The floor's yours, Ben.
No, I'm kind of on the same side here. I don't believe it's such a thing. I think it's more patronizing than positive.
So why is it specifically Women's Day when not a lot of people say much for Youth Day or...
Yeah, like Youth Day is a day because it commemorates like a certain happening in this country and it should be something that's...
So
like,
does Women's Day when they march the union buildings.
But all of them are dead already, man.
Woo! Okay. Alrighty. Cool.
We can't commemorate everything in history. No, look. Obviously significant, but I don't think most people care about that or know about that. And people can't even spell... woman and women the right way. So I don't know what the... There's no point. Like, a lot of people go, it's Women's Day. So I'm like, well, which one? They go, huh? If you said woman, W-O-M-A-N, woman, apostrophe S, day, what you're saying is it's one woman's day.
Yeah.
Then it should just be Mabali Day. You know? Then there are those people who spell it right, which is W-O-M-E-N, Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that means more than one woman. And then there are also people who say it's Girls' Day.
Who are those people?
Oh, please, you haven't seen the idiots on Twitter?
No.
Yeah, Girls' Day.
I'm still kind of hopeful. I'll hold on to it a bit. I'll be listening to some Maya Angelou to begin the day
nice.
Off.
Yeah, that's great.
I'll find...
Why does the caged bird sing?
I'll find some great stories about Mamweni to read.
That's good, yeah.
Something, right. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, everybody enjoy and get ready because it's Women's Day and everybody's very excited about that tomorrow. Mabali, most of all, she's so excited.
Yes, I'm thrilled.
We can hear it in your voice. We can see you as you're bouncing off the walls right now.
She's going to be joining in protest marches and signing petitions, and Mubs is getting ready. It's going to be a big day for her. Very important. All right, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. No, we won't.
No,
whoa,
no,
whoa,
no.
Whoa.
No.
We'll see you on Thursday between 6 and 9, like I said. we'll just edit that out.
Did you hear how vehemently?
All right. So we'll see you on Thursday morning between 6 and 9. Have an excellent Women's Day tomorrow. And let's hope Amanda doesn't have too much of a hangover. We'll catch you early in the morning. Ben's not here on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll see you on Friday.
Because
Ben is taking a double Women's Day. He's going through.
I'm celebrating Women's Day by Daniela taking me away somewhere nice.
That's sweet. Do you know where
you're
going?
Can I taste your juice?
Oh, I thought it was like a surprise or something.
It's going to be quite fantastic. Game drives, some alone time.
Someone says that the song that we played just before we go, because this is only relevant for today. After this, we've got to move on from it. I mean, no one's going to be talking about this again. But that maybe that song also steals a little bit from this, Matthew Wilder's Break My Stride. I don't know if you agree. Just take a listen quickly. Maybe we'll play this. Last night I had the strangest dream. You know this song?
I'm not sharing the similarities.
No, me neither, but give it a chance. Let's go.
Last night I had the strangest dream. I sailed away to China in a little rowboat to find you. And you said you had to get your laundry clean. Didn't want no one to hold you. What does that mean? And you said, ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down.
Yes, no? All right. Coming up, Roberta Durant, the director of Krotoa.
This is CliffCentral.com.